Welcome to the Seventh Sense podcast.
This is a space to explore, reflect, and share.
Open conversations for the heart, mind, and soul.
Welcome to episode 5.
How have you been?
I've been good.
How's your
week? Has been so busy. Oh my god, it's been so busy. But it's been good. I've done, I think, almost everything I wanted to do.
Mad.
But it's like the thing where you feel like there's still something I haven't done. You know how you're like...
But so, you know, when you start your week with, I've planned out so my Monday until Friday.
Yeah, I've planned out like the next 2 weeks.
What?
So I just add things as I go along. But yeah, how's your week been? Changes.
Changes. And so productivity-wise, I feel like I've been on a good one.
Mm.
Yeah, everything I need to do, I think I've done. I feel like it's a week of changes and rebirth. I haven't drunk milk the whole week, so that's all.
Awesome. So he did it.
So
if
that's
you
week one.
To the last episode, then
like I'm not even trying to cap, but you had to put some nothing. Irregardless, it's been a nice week.
Was irregardless a new word?
Is it regardless or irregardless?
I think it's regardless.
I feel like one thing to say irregardless is a word for me.
Okay.
I feel like it has more.
So as always, we like to start our episodes with some fun questions. So do you wanna go first?
Yeah. What's one thing you think everyone in their 20s should know? Love yourself and you don't have to fit in. That's only two things. If I even go back and tell myself, it'd be those two things.
You're still in your 20s. Or you
are. I feel like
20s.
Yeah, 20s, like maybe I'm 19 going into 20.
Yeah.
I tell myself, yo, Shaka, love yourself. Don't struggle to fit in. I think those are two things. You?
It's almost similar, but focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Try and put as much effort as you can into yourself, not anyone else.
Yeah.
And also be patient with yourself, because you feel like your 20s, like you're old and you should have everything figured
out,
but if you don't, it's because you're figuring it out.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, there's something my sister-in-law said the other day. She's like, but you know, even if you figure yourself now, even when you turn 30, 35, you'll always be changing and evolving. But I feel like it's not true.
It is.
The core of you stays intact. Then what's the point of having a dream if it's always going to keep on changing?
Maybe your dream can evolve, but I do think you evolve. Because I think
as a person, you evolve.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me the version I am now wouldn't be the version I am 5 years from now?
Even the version you were on Monday is not the same version you are today. Don't you think so?
It's facts.
Yeah. Even the version you were at this time last year
is not the same version
you're like
now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm sure this time last year you were sure of yourself. It's like you're always sure of yourself, but you're
always
still
And then you get to a point,
evolving.
Yeah, you're changing. Okay.
That's
okay.
What I think.
Then I think I'd tell my 20-year-old that, is that you'll always keep evolving. So also allow yourself to change.
What's the one trait you think can hold back your potential? My love for sleep.
Oh my days, I didn't expect that, but okay.
Because really, like you think about it being in like the video industry, creating videos and stuff,
okay.
And thinking about it on a larger scale, like people who work on movie sets or music video sets, you're working from like 4 a.m. to like
4 a.m.
Exactly, it's long hours. That's just something I need to start mentally preparing myself for. What about you?
Self-doubt.
Mm.
That's the only thing, because I'll create something and I'm going to be like, maybe not. I need to stop putting myself down before, because anything I've touched so far, I feel like it comes out dope. Fingers for nipples or nipples for fingers?
Did you also have?
Yeah, I know. So I'm trying to picture it. Fingers for nipples. Wait, so when you say fingers for nipples, it's my nipples that are fingers.
Yeah.
And then nipples for fingers.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd pick fingers for nipples because not everybody's going to get to see them.
But those are long, you know, it's like... But yeah, I would pick the same.
Because I feel like nipples for fingers, everybody can
like
see.
Like typing.
When you're paying for something, yeah, just like, yo.
Yeah.
I'd pick fingers for nipples.
What's your biggest fear in life? Losing people who I love.
Mad.
I don't even fear my own death, because I'll be dead, like what do I know? But losing people around me who I love. I can't imagine being, God forbid, at your funeral. You know, that's gonna be like a fucking trip. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. What's yours?
You read the truth, because it would be weird. That would be insane. I'm with you. I mean, in terms of death, I'm not scared of death. I feel like you checked in, you have to check out. Mine is not living up to my full potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be like 80 and looking back being like, I would have.
Should have.
Could have. So I think for me, just not doing everything I said I want to do is my biggest fear in life.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the art of being present. I think I want to start by just asking you,
mm-hmm.
or by just talking about what is even being present? What is that even?
I think being present for me is being able to sit. I don't mean physically sitting, but being able to sit in the now.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular moment, not worrying about the future or the past. I feel like for me, being present is being able to sit and being aware of now. And that now is the only thing that ever existed. Or will exist.
Same, being here, sitting on the chair and feeling myself on the chair and hearing the freezer and feeling my arms on the table.
Mm.
So then, why do you think it's important to be present? Is it important?
I think it's really important, and it's more about, we live in a fast-paced world.
Mm.
And from your rising to your end of the day, it's just things are back to back to back to back to back. I feel like if you don't have space to hear your thoughts or to center yourself, you're going to be like a robot in a sense. I think it's important to be present because you're also able to control your reaction to things and choices that you make. You don't want to be autopilot. I think you're a bit more calm to choose or decide certain things.
Yeah, I think it's important because of that same thing. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
It's a thing for where you're like, what? How is it already 5 p.m.? You know, it's just because you're just doing so many things. And that's why I wanted us to meditate before we do this podcast. That it's just like your mind is a bit quiet and then you can focus on this. Yeah.
I feel like being present allows me not to, because I've had a panic attack once. It's not a nice feeling to have. One day I woke up in the morning and my heart was racing. I'm sweating. I couldn't understand what the fuck is going on. I can't even get out of my bed. All I could do was just think, oh shit, what the fuck is this? Am I dying also? So I just got my phone, texted, like the HR guy to be like, yo, I just can't today. Good thing he understood. So ever since then, it's been more about how can I not really stress about things I can't control and be present in my day, my moment, my every waking minute. How can I sit in that moment a bit longer for me to experience it to the fullest?
I think it's more from a what's the plan perspective for me?
For me, it's because I want to control everything. I want everything to pan out the way I want it to pan out. So everything has to be how I want it. My anxiety comes in knowing I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can only do maybe 70, 80, 90%. Even that 99.9% I can do, that 0.01,
you're still going to think about it.
I'm still going to think about it, being like, how can I control that?
Do you think it has something to do with also just letting things be on the outside? Like, wait, let me ask you a trick question. Yeah. Do you pop your pimples?
No.
Same.
I feel like I let it run its course.
Yeah, same.
I'm just like, you do your thing.
That's an easy example of just letting things be.
But how do you let things be? If you want to be in control, okay, because this is one of my things. I'm in charge. I manifest my reality. I'm the core. But I feel like letting things be is kind of like losing control over the reality that you can actually control. You know what I'm saying? So it's that sweet spot between me controlling and the universe. Just that sweet spot is where I struggle now, just letting things be.
Yeah.
Beautiful moments of life can be drowned out by, now this word, I was just like, I just had to write down, so you tell me if you know what it means. By a cacophony of self-consciousness and anxiety. I don't know what cacophony is. I feel like maybe a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just say a lot.
They started to say a lot, but make it bigger.
Yeah.
Like.
So, I mean, I felt it. You know, beautiful moments in life can be drowned out by a lot of self-consciousness and anxiety. Do you think you struggle like with self-consciousness?
It depends on the situation.
Uh-huh.
Just depends on my environment. Generally, most of the time, no.
Okay.
There's situations like, for example, you're graduating, I'm graduating, I'm walking across the podium, I'm just like, don't fall.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Not like, I'm graduating, it's happening. Like, you know, my mind is
just thinks, don't fall.
Don't fall, look cute, smile, okay, you got it, okay, walk down the steps. You know, that's like how I'm thinking. In those situations, yeah, okay. I'm like self-conscious, but generally, I don't think so.
If you split between work and your content,
mm-hmm.
are there different ways? Like you find yourself, okay, I struggle being present at work because of X, Y, Z. I remember there's something you told me about art. So your actions, routines,
and activities, yeah.
Yeah, so activities, sorry. So like, you know, how do you group your work environment and then your creative or content environment? Because I feel like you'll find different ways of being present in those two different situations. So how do you do it at work and how do you do it with your content?
I try as much as possible to separate the time for each. So like I know Friday is a content day, meaning my energy, attention is in content.
Yeah.
I might like sit and send an invoice,
yeah.
But knowing that Friday is a content day means that every day in the week I'm working to make sure I don't have that much left on my plate for Friday.
Okay.
Monday is a work day. If I haven't shot a video on Saturday or Sunday, I shouldn't shoot it on Monday, because if I shoot it on Monday, it throws off the rest of my week.
Okay.
So just like separating things like that. Wednesday is like a bit of both. So what do I have work to do in work? What do I have to do? For content, and how can I arrange this? It always just comes down to planning.
Okay.
Because then now, if I've planned, then I know everything has its time, so let me just do this. Okay. So that it issues, and then I can do this other thing. How do you do it?
No, that's why I struggle now. So for example, because I have this space, as I will focus on music now, and then that becomes my waking thought from when I wake up to when I sleep. That's all I'm thinking about.
But that's what you want.
Exactly.
But is that not what you want?
That's what I want. This is me trying to practice letting the universe do its
thing.
Like, I've done my 99%. So I leave that, and then now let me focus on my music. If my mind is in that thing, that's all I'm thinking about. That's all my brain is just processing.
Is that you being present? It's kind of not, but it also is. How can you know if you're present or if you're not present? You know, like, how?
Okay, cool.
I'm asking that indirectly.
Okay. So things like washing dishes, things that I know I can do like autonomously. The fact that I'm doing it, I feel like I'm already, my body is present there. So that allows my mind to do, I feel like it allows my mind to do, not to think about the dishes now. It's like a level up. So you can, your mind can be occupied washing the dishes, not what you think about. But there's a way maybe you can also allow your like subconscious mind to do, your subconscious I feel like is doing the dishes. But your conscious mind is able now to think about those things that if you were present for during your day, you're able to tap into that, whatever you are really focusing on. That's how I look at it.
It's like, it's confusing me. Just say the last year, 20 again.
So if my focus, this today, Monday I woke up, or today, Friday I woke up and it's finishing maybe track 4 on the EP. That's what I'll wake up thinking of until the end of the day. That's
I feel
how
like
I
that
function.
Would make me like feel overwhelmed.
Oh yeah?
Because for me now it's the opposite. It's like if I'm doing the dishes, I'm doing the dishes. It's like a break from what the thing
okay,
was.
Okay, now I'm seeing the flip side to that. So I'm doing dishes, I have my headphones on, I'm listening to Detroit 2, but I'm still able to find a pocket in my mind
to think about
my EP. So I feel like it's doing a lot for a brain, but I feel like I can handle it.
I feel like I'm struggling to be like working on this project for work and not thinking about how much footage I have to edit. Because I already know I have this time to do the editing. I'll just do it when the time comes.
Okay.
So I'm like the opposite in that sense.
But I'm not saying what I'm doing. I feel like what I'm doing is wrong. Like I think I'm doing
too
much for my...
I don't think it's like wrong or right. I just think it's like...
I feel like I should be able to be present. If I'm doing the dishes, let me be present.
Different.
Feel the water and feel the dishes. If I'm listening to Detroit 2, it should be I'm having time to indulge in it.
Fully, like,
listen.
But I feel like the whole thing with all these yogis and teachers, they're just like, if you're running, just run. If you're doing this, just do this. So then you've had your full day, right? Of you doing whatever the goal was for that day. So now it's time to, like, wind down and sleep. So how do you go from...
Like, you go down
like,
from...
Yeah, what's your, like, wind down mindfulness practice?
So my shower is my wind down. So having to feel the water, the heat, the
so this time you're not thinking about that.
That's the only time I'm not even thinking about my EP. It's just like, yo, that's done.
So then how can you be present? Or, like, what do you do to be present or stay present?
It's hard, like, you know, I don't have like a specific like thing I do. I'm understanding it more, like I'm an anxious person, so my mind is always like at 100 places, trying to like do 100 things when I can't possibly just be doing my dishes. I look for those mundane things that it's not even something I genuinely want to do, but I understand that the more I do it every day becomes a routine. It allows me to train myself on how to be present.
I always take a deep breath, like deep, like belly breath, and breathe out through my mouth. That makes me feel like I'm here.
That I do like when I'm trying to like slow down. So I can tell I'm not here, but now I'm even more anxious now that I know I'm not here doing whatever I need to be doing. I know my anxiety is like, it takes levels.
It's so crazy because I've never noticed that you're anxious.
But you see, it's something that always used to be there in the background. I think because I used to mask it with a lot of things. Now that I've had this type of the clarity to actually understand and feel myself more, it's I've always just been an anxious person. That's why I always used to like chew on my fingernails. And that's why my headphones just do it for me. I feel like music allows me just to be more present, to be in that pocket.
I feel like that's the opposite of being present. And we talked about this a bit earlier. When you're taking a deep breath, it's like you're just trying to use
your
senses
back
to feel where you are.
Okay.
Do you ever try to do that? Like try to feel any sensation in your body?
Like you're breathing or just feel a part of your body?
Yeah. Try to feel like your feet on the floor, like right now try to feel the contact between your feet and the floor, and then it's like I'm actually here. That's how I try to be present, just try to use my senses to center myself in the moment.
I've always just used
music
because this is how I think of it. It's I'm able to put myself back inside myself, because otherwise my mind is all over the place, so I'm not really here. So having a vibration that I know is like in between here allows me just to like recenter everything.
I listen to music when I'm doing my makeup, though I find makeup in itself therapeutic. But yeah, I get the thing of listening to music with certain activities. It's ties us together.
So like for you, what kind of like puts you off center?
Mostly it's when I'm really busy or I feel like I have a lot to do and I'm trying to like multitask, then I'm just like, okay, let me just like breathe for a second. Or sometimes when I'm late, it's just like you need to just put yourself together. Being overwhelmed, a lot of tasks or just a lot of emotion and stuff like that.
Did you have to try like different things before you found anything that actually works for you?
Yeah, I did.
Or you've always just known?
No, I didn't always know. Deepak Chopra has a podcast and he was talking about it and I was like, that's such a simple thing that, I mean, you can always take a deep breath.
Yeah.
It's not some things that you do to clear your head, like going on a run. You can't always just stand up and go on a run in the middle of, you know, life.
Even a meeting, yeah. The officer like, wait.
Yeah, so when he was talking about it and I was like, that's such a simple thing, you can always do that. Yeah. And so I tried it.
Do you feel like you know you want to explore other ways of keeping yourself focused or centered? I feel like over time you get used to it, so it doesn't really slap the same way.
No, but it's like a deep breath. It's like you're not always taking deep breaths, you know?
Okay, true.
It's like in your stomach, the bottom of your stomach breath. I think it works for like shorter periods. So there's other things that like I need to set aside time in my day or week to do it. But in like a moment, I think deep breaths work for me. Okay. Has music always been the thing for you?
It's always been, but you see there are pockets in my day that I can't really just whip out my headphones and just play music. You get, so it might be somewhere in a formal setting or professional setting and I can just be like, I need to center myself, just grab my headphones.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't. So that's why I'm asking you, because I need to start exploring other ways of being able to center myself.
I guess that sort of is a form of mindfulness practice for you, the music, and for me, like the deep breaths and meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we're talking about the art, like the ART, activities, routine, and triggers. I want to just talk about that.
Okay. Activities was like basically like what I do on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talk about this, or when it came up with the topic, the song that plays in my head is folding clothes. So like cleaning my room. So I do that every weekend. And it's about, you know, moving everything to the center of the room and then just cleaning everything and then already putting it back. I feel like it's an activity I enjoy because I'm there for it.
I do that as well. Like when I change my sheets every week, it's like a... Sometimes I won't even listen to anything, I'll just change my sheets.
I won't lie to you.
It's so satisfying. For routines, I would say my morning and evening routine. My evening routine is in shambles at the moment, but my morning routine, like waking up, oil pulling as I make my bed, drinking my hot water, that part, it's just like, it's like a slow ease into the day and I feel like I can be super mindful of that.
Yeah.
So that's when I feel like if I wake up late and I'm not able to have that like flow, we need to like pause in the middle of the day and meditate or something because it's gonna be like worlds falling apart. Yeah. Are there any routines like on your day to day that you feel like help with your mindfulness?
The getting ready. So I've chucked the shower and I'm oily. Because I'm those guys who oil like from top to bottom, not just the places.
That's how everyone should be. Everyone needs to oil themselves from top to bottom. That includes your feet.
So doing that part, I think just the process of me getting ready, I think it's also what the value I attach to the process to my day.
Yeah, I get the shower and dressing thing, because same. I know people just shower, come out and wear flutes with water on their back. I'm like...
Yo, that's like barbaric, you know? Like, do you even speak?
What I notice is that both of our routines that we tie to mindfulness are self-care based.
Yeah.
So I want to challenge us and try to think of other routines that are not so self-care based. What comes to mind for me is planning my week on Sundays. That's a routine that I can be so present for because it feels like it's like a brain dump. So I feel like that's also a routine that really helps with mindfulness.
So what I've really tried, like especially like building or creating the EP, was more about, if I have like an idea in my head and I'm just like, that's the thing that's ringing in my head, I like write it on my notes and I come on my phone. And then I'll look at it the next day. Not the same day like I wrote it down, because I feel like I also want to let it breathe. But it's the fact that I had it, it was bugging my head, and I put it out. So it's one thing knowing there are other better ways of living, but that's just knowing.
Yeah.
But you need to actually act on it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's what I hold myself accountable to.
The last part of that was the triggers, how we're mindful of them. Like, how do you know when you're triggered?
So mine is normally so deep, like my hands, my palms start sweating. So that's for me, I normally know legit it's about to happen. So I got like, it's about to go down. So my hands are always a very good telltale sign for me. I look at triggers two ways. Triggers can be a positive one, it can be a negative one.
Yeah.
A positive trigger is more like, it like reminds you why this task is fulfilling. It reminds you why you've been doing this thing over and over, because you get the satisfaction out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The triggers that are negative, it's just, it throws you off.
I feel like I always feel like throwing off. That's how I know something is off. You know that feeling, like you have butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
So mindfulness, triggers comes in when you try to figure out what to do to understand or like resolve that feeling. Honestly, I can sleep. Like when I feel something is really stressing.
I feel like that's like a superpower, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just like, you know what? We'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not very healthy because it's not how to deal with things realistically.
I think it is. I feel like if it works for you, it works for you. You can start saying it's
not
realistic.
But you can't always sleep. That's
but
what
you
I
can't
try
always
to.
Not be triggered, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally, even myself, I feel like there are things I normally tell myself, okay, fine, Shaga, that's not the way to deal with it. But then in the back of my mind, I'm just like, but who said? Of course, it can be every time, but you see the circumstances where you can actually deal with it like that.
Yeah, just deal with it.
Just deal with it like that. There's no need of saying, okay, maybe this is not alright.
I think the whole thing is just trying to be here now as much as you can. Be here, be present, be as mindful as you can today, and then tomorrow will take care of itself because you'll be doing the same thing. Don't be in tomorrow too much because tomorrow will come.
How do you plan and still stay present?
I feel like planning allows you to be present because you schedule time to think about everything. And so you don't need to think about Wednesday now. You'll think about it on Wednesday. You know what you'll think about on Wednesday. So right now you can only think about what you need to think about on Saturday. That's how I think.
I
think this episode was just about trying to be here now.
Yeah. The year we've had, the uncertainty doesn't allow you to be experiencing every day as should be. You're always living a day wondering, okay, when is it going to change? I'll speak to that, you know. I've lived every day wondering, when is this circumstance situation going to change for me? And that's something like moving forward, even anybody listening, it's just one of those things where life only happens now.
Only today exists.
So once you set yourself and you stay more present, I think you allow the universe, like, you know, row, row, row your boat gently downstream. I think that's it.
But then I think it also begs the question of, so then I'm triggered. It's not so easy for everyone to like shut it down.
Oh, it's still struggling.
But I feel like that's a whole other episode. Self-compassion comes into play. Just being patient with yourself, forgiving to yourself.
Yeah.
And then having faith that it'll be better.
Not many of us, I included, are like nice to themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like you have so much like self or negative self-talk. So even when you're trying to be in the moment, there's a voice telling you, no. You have to worry
about
this.
Yeah,
what about this and that? Because you need a support system. Be it your family, friends, whoever it is in your life.
Yeah,
that allows you to, can even call you out, and not just call you out on your BS like in a bad way. It's just able to tell you, okay, fine.
That's the thing, the people who call you out
on your
BS,
yeah.
That was low-key like a stab. That wasn't even helpful, you've been meaning to say that.
But I feel there's the type where is they understand how you think, how you move, and how you feel about things, and then they're able to call you out whenever you're telling yourself negative things.
I even call you out whenever you're
like deviating from what you're supposed to be doing. You need to have that person who's able to tell you,
no,
who's invested in your life, but at the same time they're just like, I'm not gonna stand by it.
We're not gonna cap here.
Yeah, and it's like you need to value that. You need to have people like that in your corner. You can start saying, okay, I can do all these things alone, but we're a community for a reason. So there has to be people who you can also trust. You know, it just can't be
everyone on Twitter. I mean, let us know if you'd like us to do an episode on triggers and how we deal with our triggers. We'd be happy to do that for season 2.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Feel free to reach out to us on email. Let us know your thoughts, your comments. Yeah, leave us a review. Share this episode with someone who you think would benefit from it. We'll catch you guys in the next one.